At every prayer, we recite at the end of prayer. Who are those fortunate ones who has been able to come too close to Allah Ta'ala, to be friends of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala has created the angels. The angels have no flesh. Having no flesh, there is no desires of the flesh. There is no need to eat or to drink. There is no lust. They are pure intelligence. Not the intelligence which we know, which we use in our work to make money and to make do with the necessities of this world. The kind of intelligence which I am talking about is what Allah Ta'ala has created first, which is called Aqli Kull, the total mind. Another name for it is Nuru Muhammadi. So they are enlightened with Nuru Muhammadi, with Aqli Kull, with total mind. They have no egos. All their life is spent is obeying Allah Ta'ala's wishes and obeying Allah Ta'ala's will. Unlike us, we try to follow obedience to Allah Ta'ala. For them, they don't read the Quran and the Hadith and learn what one has to do to obey Allah Ta'ala. Is it innate? It is innate in them. It is in their nature. So their obeying to Allah Ta'ala is not really obedience, because it is natural. And their worship is natural. Their remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is natural. So for the angels, there are no obligation whatsoever. Then Allah Ta'ala has created the beast, the animal. In the animal, all the life consists of the flesh, the survival of the flesh, the feeding of the flesh, the procreation through lust and through sex. And there is practically no intelligence whatsoever. So they too have no obligation. They are brought to this life to do what they are destined to do, and they do it. They try to survive. They kill each other. They eat each other. And they too have no obligation. Then Allah Ta'ala has created us. He has created us half animal, half angel. Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem says, he who whose intelligence overcomes the lust of their flesh is higher their state than those of the angels. And amongst men, he who whose ego, whose desires of the flesh overcomes his intelligence is worse than the worst of animals. Men in this short life strive, even the worst of us, they strive to come close to Allah Ta'ala. And often enough, most of us, we fail because we cannot control our egos, we cannot control the desires of our flesh, and when that happens, we fall to a state which is worse than the worst of the wild beast. Some of us, we have enough faith in our Creator. We see His manifestation all around us and within us. And we strive harder. And our fight is continuous. Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi, he said that if men will continue in the path of Allah Ta'ala for 1,000 years, and if once he turns his back to the path, his loss is greater than the 1,000 years which he has spent to follow the path. So the continuum is extremely important. Continuum with the hope, and continuum with the idea that we may never arrive to where we wish to arrive, but we will still continue striving. And those of us who are like that, they are the only ones who are called believers. There is a surah in the Quran al-Kareem at the very end of the book, Surah An-Nasr. We often use it in our namaz, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ فَالْفَتْ. Now that surah, according to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, was revealed during the last Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met his Lord and left this world 8 days after the revelation of the surah, in which Allah Ta'ala says, when comes the help of Allah Ta'ala and victory. And you see men entering Allah's religion in throngs, then proclaim the praise of your Lord and ask His forgiveness, for He is all merciful. Now, many interpreters interpreted that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very ambitious. During the end of your life, the Arabic Peninsula and its inhabitants all almost came into Islam, but he wanted the whole world to be Muslims. And he was unhappy. And they say that Surah came to him as a relief that will happen after he is gone. But the Sufis interpret this ayat that there is no victory over one's ego. There is no victory over the desires of one's flesh without the help of Allah Ta'ala. And the success only comes when one is total despair. When one reaches my age, that death could be any time now, that one has tried and one has failed, and that despair is so horrible that one is torn apart, one sheds tears, one pulls one's hair, one dies before dying. And it is only then, when one feels that with these feeble feet one cannot walk anymore on the path of Allah Ta'ala, then like a babe who cannot walk, Allah Ta'ala picks you up in His arms like a baby and carries you to where you had hoped to go. But the condition is this terrible pain and stress and unhappiness of having failed. And the greatest danger in our profession as a human being and Muslims and Ahl Tariqah, to think that we have somehow reached the goal. Because on the path, indeed, Allah Ta'ala to encourage us that you go to the Hajj or you do some good deed, and then all of a sudden you have some inspiration to encourage you to continue on the path. But we may take that, if we are stupid enough, as if that's it, that we have done it and we have come close to Allah Ta'ala. And that is, my friend, is the greatest mistake which one can do. Salaam alaikum.
Salaam.
we do our prayers, I hope. We do fast during Ramadan even more. We do pay our zakat. And many of us here, we have gone to the Hajj. And many of us, many times, to Hajj and Umrah. All this is not very important in itself. All these so-called obligations in Islam is part of the profession, is the part of the education to become truly Muslim. There is another worship. You see, when you miss your namaz, you can do it tomorrow, or you can do it next year, or the year after. There is something which is called qaza. When you miss a fast, if you are intelligent enough, like it is long days in summer, so you make it up in the short days of winter. If you miss your zakat this year, you can make it up next year. If you haven't gone to the Hajj this year, you may go the year after, or the year after, or the year after. But the kind of ibadat which I am talking about has no qaza. If somebody is drowning, you cannot say, I am going to come in an hour and save you. You have to do it right away. If somebody is hungry, you cannot say, I will come to you next week and I will feed you. If somebody is crying and sad, you cannot say, wait a couple of days and then I come and try to somehow, you know, help you, cheer you up. That ibadat, as I have earlier said to some of my children today, is extremely important, because that is a proof that you are a Muslim and you are practicing your Islam. And there is no qaza to it. And that ibadat is called adab. And that adab, the example of it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't eat, he fed people. He fought for other people. Whenever he saw a child crying, he went and caressed his head. And whenever one of his ummah was sick or sad or needed help, he rushed to help him. This is what Islam is. This is what tasawwuf is. And we know that. And we say that this world takes our time. The time your work takes, you can apply the principles of adab of Islam in your work, in your relationship with your wives, in your relationship with your children, in your relationship with your neighbor, in your relationship with the nature, in your relationship with the water, with the plants, with the animals. And that's what we have to do. if we really, really want to live our Islam. But to have a Muslim name, to grow a beard, you know, like a Muslim is supposed to do, and then you shave under your arms and you cut your fingers and all this kind of things. If that was Islam, that would have been so nice and so easy. But it is not. Because Americans take more showers than we do. You know, they dress more properly than we do. You know, and they're not Muslims. That we have to understand once and for all, and we have to practice our Islam every day, and we have to remember that indeed without His help neither could we achieve the humanness, you know, in this life, nor really could we achieve success in our worldly life. For Allah Ta'ala says that if you ask me for this world, I will give you this world. If you ask me for the hereafter, I will give you the hereafter. But if you ask me for this world, you will have no share of the hereafter. If you ask me for hereafter, you will have no share of this world. But if you ask me for me, I will give you myself and this world and the hereafter. But asking for Him is not as easy as asking for this world, neither for the hereafter. It's a total occupation of our lives, and that is how we have to practice our Islam. Salaam alaikum.